Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. My name's Dave Stevens. I'm a business marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the BMC. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today, we've got over 1,000 participants across the world. If this is the first time you've joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. And if you've been with us before, well, welcome back. It's good to have you along again. In this episode, I'll be speaking about account-based marketing to ABM specialist and trainer Robert Norham, to global head of account-based marketing at Fujitsu, Andrea Clatworthy, to head of marketing at Syscom, Darren Bindert, and to founder of Tribal Impact, Sarah Goodall. Today, something a little different as we embark on an A to Z of business marketing. We're looking to give a primer on the very latest thinking, practices, and practical examples on every big topic in business marketing land. And we start where else but with A. And A stands for what else but account-based marketing. Four experts will talk on the topic today, starting with ABM consultant and trainer Robert Norham. Robert, welcome to the podcast, and over to you.
That's great. Thanks, Dave. And good morning or afternoon or evening, wherever you are. To pick up on Dave's point, I've been in B2B marketing for 30 plus years. I've specialized in ABM for the last 10, and I've been doing training for marketing on ABM essentials for the last 4. So hopefully I can give you a little bit of a heads up on where I think ABM is going. I've picked off some key highlights from the training I do in terms of helping you get started with ABM or helping you refine your programs. And I guess starting at the beginning, there are things you need to get right to set the program up. And the first thing I think is a clear definition of ABM in your organization. It's really vital that everybody's on the same page to make sure you've developed a proposition and something that you can sell into the organization and avoiding too many interpretations. To give you a sort of heads up on what this might sound like, ABM is strategic marketing approach jointly implemented by sales and marketing, focused on key targeted accounts, whether they're customers or not. It's about identifying who your most important accounts are, gathering as much insight on them as possible, and then using that insight to align your proposition to the challenges they're facing, and obviously then crafting a highly personalized marketing program to win or grow their business. The next thing up is getting executive sponsorship, which is also extremely important. There will be bumps in the road when you're looking to implement a change program like ABM across the organization, and you really need to make sure that you have an executive sponsor in place and available for you at all times. And the third thing then I would suggest is critical, is getting sales and marketing completely aligned. This isn't an optional extra. And if you want to make sure that you're running a successful ABM program, it's really critical that sales and marketing are both signed up and 100% committed. And it's really important to understand that this is not a service that marketing perform for sales. It's a joint effort and it requires sustained focus and commitment from both teams. So then you get into your strategy, and as I'm sure most of you will be familiar, ABM is now a pretty broad church. We have one-to-one, we have one-to-few, and we have one-to-many. Hopefully those are pretty self-explanatory titles, one-to-one single account focus, one-to-few, typically a cluster of vertically aligned accounts, and one-to-many, a larger number of focus accounts, but absolutely not broad-based demand gen in the traditional sense. And it's key that you develop the strategy that's going to be right for your business and probably look at creating some kind of blended approach where you'll be working with one or more of those different tiers, as I just mentioned. It's also vital that you get your account selection right, particularly if you're looking at one-to-one and one-to-few. And you need to make sure that this isn't just simply based around the recommendations or the requests coming from sales, which might be limited to gut feel or past experience. And it's really important, I think, that you select the accounts based around scoring them, around a consistent set of criteria that obviously gives you some kind of empirically sound reason for the accounts selected. And it also gives you an audit trail of why they were chosen in the first place. Once you enter the actual program, then I think it's incredibly important that you know exactly where you are on the journey, and you can explain this to the entire organization, particularly those key stakeholders in sales and marketing. So I would suggest you have a clear and replicable process. It's a structured process, if you like, that everybody gets. And typically I would recommend, as I do in my training on a regular basis, a sort of six-stage process. You start by scoping the account, you go off and do research and insight, you develop your account strategy, you get into the value proposition and messaging, and then you start thinking about the communications and the go-to-market plan that's actually going to land with the stakeholders you want to reach. And then stage six, obviously, is coming back together as a team to review the success and the engagement metrics, if you like, that you've achieved to that point. So drilling down a little bit into the detail, I think it's absolutely critical that you understand the importance of customer insight, which is definitely the cornerstone of all ABM. And from my point of view, it's really just not possible to do ABM effectively if you don't have the right research and insight into accounts. Obviously, for one-to-one, this would be in-depth profiles. For one-to-few, it would probably be looking at a vertical sector and the key drivers within that. And even within a one-to-many program, you want to be thinking about how can you segment the accounts? How can you create the right kind of communications that are going to engage people based around the industry they work in or the job functions that they're obviously working in on a daily basis? Once you've created the sort of insight piece, if you like, and you've drawn the right conclusions from that, then you can obviously then develop your strategy into how to engage that account or that sector. And then you get into the value proposition, which is obviously all about making sure it's tailored to the audience. So ABM is absolutely not about taking your corporate or product messaging and simply serving this up to a number of target accounts. You really need to craft account or sector-based messaging built on the findings of the research, where you're addressing the specific audience in question and making a direct connection with their business drivers and pain points to the solutions and services, obviously, that you would like to be selling them. From there, you get into the creative and the communications piece of things from a content perspective, and creative culture is obviously critical. There's no point going to all this work to understand the account, to get the entire organization aligned internally, to develop your strategy, and then to find that you don't have the creative cut through. So it's really important that you think about the value proposition, the messaging, but of course, how can you then land that? And the final point I'd make is it really is critical that you have common goals, you know, to build a single team where sales and marketing are working as a single unit, if you like, with shared KPIs that have been developed together, and everybody knows exactly what they're trying to achieve, and the recognition is then shared for joint efforts of working together. So in a nutshell, and at speed, that's my 10 steps to a successful ABM program. I hope that ticks the boxes that you are after, Dave, and I'd be very happy to pick up on this with anybody that would like to know more.
That's brilliant. ABM consultant and trainer Robert Norham, thank you very much.
My pleasure, Dave.
Our second ABM expert is Global Head of Account-Based Marketing at Fujitsu, Andrea Clatworthy. Andrea, welcome to the podcast and over to you.
Dave, thank you very much and hello, everybody. So there are three questions I often get asked. So I thought I'd share today how I would typically answer them. So those three questions are, which type of ABM should I do? Where should I start? And how can I demonstrate value as we get going? So let's start with which type of ABM then. So there are broadly three types. You probably know this. So there's strategic one-to-one ABM, which is resource intensive, and works really well on existing customers where you're looking to perhaps grow your footprint, upsell and cross-sell, expand relationships, build reputation, support revenue, which may mean defending it, and then move happily into customer advocacy mode. Deep insight here has a major role to play, and the approach that you would typically take is highly personalized and tailored and bespoke activity just for that customer. You can also use one-to-one for customer acquisition, but my advice would be to only do that when there's a pursuit or a deal to play for. Next type is one-to-few or cluster ABM, where you're grouping customers and prospects who have similar characteristics and perhaps pain points, and you work up a play and campaign to address those. This works well for existing customers and prospects too, where that grouping is natural. One of the advantages of this type of ABM is you can almost give the customer a one-to-one experience if you're clever with it. It goes without saying that you still need to personalize, but you might not tailor quite as much as in one-to-one. And the other advantage is you can spread the cost, and you're increasing the potential success of your ABM because you're covering more accounts. The third type generally then is one-to-many, where you might pivot perhaps your traditional marketing campaigning approach from spray and pray to much more targeted, still using insight to drive action and identify your ideal customer profile. And actually, this works best with quite heavy use of MarTech across the whole thing. So not just for the personalizing bit, but also using things like intent data to know when to target who. So which is right for you? Well, or is the answer a hybrid? Well, it will depend on your business model and things like your sales cycle, your typical deal value. And the more complex the decision-making unit, or the longer the sales cycle and the larger the deal size, those things would indicate that you might want to look at one-to-one to start with. If your typical deal size doesn't lend itself to one-to-one, that is perhaps the cost of really good one-to-ABM plan and execution massively outweighs the profit margin on the deal, then don't even think about it. No commercially savvy marketeer wants to make that mistake. But it might make sense if you group a few accounts together, and that might indicate a one-to-few or cluster ABM approach is where you could start. Or if your marketing objectives are all about lead gen with prospects, then you might want to start with one-to-many and probably actually segmented or to category, not to everybody in the whole world. So make sure you've got all the right building blocks in place to do that. And you will almost certainly need good MarTech or an agency ecosystem to enable it. So something to think about. So where to start then? Well, whichever type you decide to start with, I would recommend that you pilot first. Remembering a few things. So ABM is not a quick fix or a silver bullet, and it won't make you CMO overnight. So make sure you're setting expectations and getting the buy-in from your sales and account management colleagues from the get-go. It's pretty rare, I've found, that they'll turn down really good quality marketing to help them achieve their target and their objectives. So you'll probably be pushing at an open door, but do that early. If you're starting with one-to-one, which is what I did, then do not do what I did and start with 58 accounts. That's just bonkers. Start with two or three and select those really carefully. It's much easier to start with an existing customer where perhaps there's an account manager or team already in place and they've bought into the approach. So you've opened that door early with them. A few things to think about here. So think about where they are based and where your ABMer or ABM team are based. It's easier, I've found, if they're in the same time zone, even better if in the same geography and have the same culture. Back in the days when we physically worked in the same places as each other, remember those? We found it was even better if the ABMer was actually in the same office as the team because it aids that all important collaboration. So start with gathering insight so you can really understand the customer, what their strategy is, what's driving them, their pain points, and identify what you have in your portfolio to help them. Where that intersection of customer need and your products or solution happens, that's what to build the campaign upon. It might be an existing use case for your product or service, which makes it even easier, especially as you can reuse existing content. Next, then identify the people you're going to target and work really closely with the account team to start landing those comms that you're going to create. It's a team effort, this, so build upon the relationships the account team already have and help them expand those across the organization by opening doors and building reputation. So once you have a really good one-to-one running, or a few of them, you might identify some other lookalikes, some similar accounts, and then you can reuse some of your thinking and your assets from that initial one-to-one to that group of accounts. And that will move you naturally into one-to-few. If you're starting with one-to-many, which many people do, think about a few things. So think about what your ideal customer profile looks like. Look at your first-party data, so the stuff you've got. Augment that with intent data and other things, other third-party data, to create your target list and build the right messaging for the personas you have identified for the use cases you want to campaign upon. And get going with a really well-orchestrated multi-channel and multi-touch point campaign. Make sure you've got a really robust lead scoring framework in place. And importantly, a smooth process already agreed with sales so that leads get passed correctly and followed up or nurtured. And of course, recognizing where the customer journey is playing with that approach. So you might find that as you start to get engagement from prospects via your one-to-many, you naturally promote some of those to one-to-few, where perhaps you're adding in additional layers of relevance, personalization, and perhaps tailoring. And you're just putting a bit more effort into them, really. You might also find that you can further promote from your one-to-few into your one-to-one program. And that's brilliant, because that would indicate that you're engaging correctly with those customers and they want to buy from you. And equally, actually, don't be afraid to kind of demote customers from one-to-one in down the layers into one-to-few or even into one-to-many and just nurture, depending upon what's going on with you and with that customer. The next question then I often get asked is, how do I demonstrate value? Well, firstly, you're probably already reporting on the activity that you're doing and the value that you're bringing. So just think about how you add like another work stream or something into that regular reporting cadence. Having said that, we're thinking here about tracking value into an account or groups of accounts. So if we're thinking one-to-one, then reporting by campaign on leads or MQLs is probably actually not very helpful, because it doesn't give you that kind of overall view of how the account and the people there are engaging across your whole life cycle. So for new customers, we want to get to the point of identifying perhaps a marketing qualified account. And for existing customers, I think the easiest way to measure is on the three R's: relationships, reputation, and revenue. So how do you measure those then? Well, which new relationships are you building? You can count these and you can name the individuals. So perhaps you're seeing the 10 stakeholders that you care about all engaging with your content. Perhaps they're registering for an event, coming to a webinar, viewing a demo, maybe actually even having a conversation with your sales folk. So track those over time. And when you get an engagement in one of those elements, make a bit of a fuss. So when someone engages, perhaps, you know, any of those things, even if they register for an event and don't come, still celebrate those little milestones and demonstrate the value you're bringing through that engagement. Next are then reputation. This can be a bit harder to measure, actually, if I'm really honest about this. So if you run perhaps a voice of the customer program, then that will help put some metrics in place. But if not, then think about perhaps more anecdotal evidence. Perhaps an account team member had a really great conversation, or even better, a request for something like a proof of concept or a demo or a workshop, or something a bit more tangible, which gives you an indication and kind of demonstrates that the reputation that you've been trying to land has gotten to a level where the customer wants to learn more and engage more deeply with you. So again, celebrate that. When any time any of that happens, make a bit of a fuss, report it up the line, ring a bell. The revenue are, this is really easy to measure. It's generally a number or a set of numbers. And of course, it goes kind of without saying, you want to see those numbers increasing, and you want to be able to prove where you're helping to do that through the reputation work that you're doing and the relationship work that you're doing. What's absolutely brilliant in terms of capturing value is when an account manager or sales leader shares the ABM work that you've been doing with them, with peers and management, and says something like, I don't know, look at the great marketing we've done, and this was the result. That is gold dust. And that sales acknowledging and celebrating the value that you're bringing. So I hope that was helpful. Take care and keep being awesome.
Andrea Clatworthy, Global Head of Account-Based Marketing at Fujitsu. Thank you very much. Our third ABM expert is the head of marketing at Syscom, Darren Bindert. Darren, welcome to the podcast. and over to you.
Fantastic. Thanks for that, David. Just to repeat, my name is Darren Bindert, head of marketing for Syscom, and we're a managed services IT business. And we specialize very tightly in the design, build, and management of network infrastructure. So we really are a pure B2B player within this. And I put this into context with the history of the company. It's been around for 30 plus years. Before I joined, Syscom had tried to grow beyond sort of a small business by taking a sales-led approach. And what that meant was that they had hired a couple of salespeople and basically told them to go out and sell. Not too surprising that failed. They approached me a couple of years ago and we decided that a much better approach would be a marketing-led growth strategy. So I was welcome on board to spearhead that. And actually what that in turn led itself into was actually in ABM, an account-based management marketing approach. And it suits itself very well, I think, for smaller businesses looking to grow, because it is very much a focused strategy. So what I'm going to talk about a bit today is I'm going to break down exactly what ABM is, break it into its constituent parts, and then I'm going to sort of illustrate a couple of examples on how we were using it within our organization, in particular over the last year, despite lockdown and everything's going on, the success that we actually had with this kind of a model. But before I begin, I think I wanted to spell a couple of myths right off the top that maybe some people have around ABM. The first one is ABM is not a technology. ABM is a process, it's a strategy, but it is not technology. Technology can help support, obviously, this, but some people seem to think that ABM is something you buy out of a box, and that's not the case. ABM is not independent and siloed. It might be marketing-led, but it is very, very much a group and joined up effort between marketing and sales. And I'll get into that in a bit. And finally, and apologies in advance to any millennials who are listening to this this podcast, but ABM is not new either. It has been around a long time. When I had a lot less gray in my hair, we just called it account management. And it might have been sales-led, but the idea was very, very similar. So it is not new. It's I think grown out of the fact that in a lot of cases marketing and sales don't get along, and this is a way of trying to foster a better relationship between marketing and sales. So let's define what ABM is, and I turn to sort of everyone's favorite CRM, HubSpot, and they define ABM as a focused growth strategy in which marketing and sales collaborate to create personalized buying experiences for a mutually identified set of high value accounts. Quite a mouthful within that. But basically, if you break that down into a few constituent parts, and I'll go into each of those in turn, the key bits within, I think, that definition is it's a focused growth strategy, it's collaboration, and it's personalized. I think these are the things that when you're going down an ABM route that you really, really have to keep in mind. So if I look at what we did when we started with this in late 2019, early 2020, Syscom won a major contract with a large multi-academy trust to provide their network infrastructure. It was the big win for us. We beat a number of much larger players within this. And that allowed us then to look at and start exploring how we could leverage that particular victory. And ABM and ABM approach is actually a great fit for sort of developing a strategy to target multi-academy trusts and colleges. So this was the beginning of our ABM journey from late last year and continuing through. So it forced us again to think a little bit more strategic about how we'd approach some of these accounts. The second bit in that definition that I went through earlier with HubSpot is about the collaboration between sales and marketing. And actually this is crucial within this kind of approach. Account-based marketing is really the pinnacle of sales and marketing alignment. And an ideal process for ABM is you identify the accounts, you communicate with these accounts, you directly nurture and foster relationships, and then ideally close deals within these accounts. And that's this trade-off and handoff between sales, marketing, until you close some sort of deal. The sales bit within this is really good at the beginning of identifying those accounts you should be speaking with. After all, if you're leveraging existing accounts and it's something you want to try to replicate, you want to focus, who better to talk to and work with than the salespeople who are should be, you know, the account managers or and the sales reps, whoever it might be, who are working hand in glove with existing clients. So you can pull a lot of information from them. To identify a small group of accounts. It could be a few. I've talked to some marketing agencies, and they, when they're promoting an ABM approach within their clients, sometimes it's as few as 10 accounts. We took a slightly larger group, and we were up to 25, but it's still a very, very focused approach. The next thing within that is to identify not only those accounts, but much more importantly, who you need to be interacting with. Who are the individuals within those accounts? When, not just the job titles, that's too simple. Really, really want to try to target this at an individual level and find out as much information as you can about the individuals within those job functions that you're looking for. So again, sales has a great role to play within this. It's then sort of the potato, as it were, is then passed to marketing to develop the specific messaging, to develop the content, to develop the tactics in order to make this whole thing come to life. My experience with this is sales has a bit of a problem, marketing to some extent, but sales in particular has a bit of an issue with this around the limiting number of accounts because they perceived as fairly risky to not have a big pipeline, a big top funnel type approach going through, but to narrow this down into to a much more select group of individuals within accounts is sometimes seen as a bit dangerous from the sales perspective. But if from marketing side, if you're there to support them and give them the right messaging and the right collateral, bang on, you'll hit it out of the park going through. So it's important that you define not only the companies that you're looking for, but also the individuals within those companies. For us, we identified around 25 multi-academy trusts and colleges and within a specific geographic region. We're based in the Midlands, so it made sense to sort of strike closer to home to begin with. We also split that into two different types of accounts actually within that. So it wasn't good enough just to say we were looking at multi-academy trusts or colleges. We looked at multi-academy trusts that had either just formed or were just forming. And those that had been around for 5+ years. And the rationale between that was the win that we had got was with a trust that was just forming, and they wanted to put in place early on an IT roadmap within their trust. And so we were there to be able to help guide and shape what that was going to look like. And the reason for the later ones, the ones that had been around for 5+ years, again, if they hadn't had a roadmap, now is the time that they could realize that there were benefits to be had by looking at implementing some sort of IT strategy moving forward. And so we formulated specific messaging around that. Within that, we identified that there was really a small cadre of people we needed to speak to. We needed to contact the CEO, the CIO, the CTO, maybe facilities, finance for different reasons, the heads and deputy heads of some of the schools involved, but not all of them. This was really a C-level approach, if you will. It was the heads of the trust that we needed to speak to. This in turn meant that really within our pool of companies, targets, we were speaking to and looking to speak to fewer than 200 individuals. Now that's a small pool to be targeting, and it made sales a bit nervous that we're going to spend so much time and effort doing this. But it also meant that we could hyper-personalize our messaging. We really, really could. We could identify and did identify those named individuals We could do a fair bit of research, not which is a job role, but about each one of those people in turn. And then we could construct messaging and strategies that almost targeted each individual in turn. It was a very personalized approach. We sent out emails, we did customer landing pages, we did very, very specific, almost bespoke type content for each of the individuals. I did video emails, and I even actually one stage brought in my family to the messaging to really try to make it home that this was less a sales approach. It was much more about building relationships. The other reason why you want to target a small group of businesses is it's not only your ideal customer, but ideally these are high value accounts, i.e. each win is going to be a big win when you get it. So you're not sort of accumulating a lot of little things. You're going after the big golden nugget when you can get it. And you're focusing your energies on grabbing that that nugget. So you have to, again, it goes back to this idea of collaboration. You have to be very comfortable working with sales because a lot of the relationship building in order to make that happen is going to be done through the sales force. It's going to be them who are going to have almost the day-to-day, the weekly conversations with the actual accounts. And therefore they need the right content to be able to do their job comfortably. They need to see that you're responsive and being able to deliver what it is they need in a very timely and accurate fashion. So that's what we focused on. Making sure that content was highly personalized. And I think I'd like to just end it really on that personalization, because I think if you can get the first two bits right, what really makes it zing is that's personalized content. And it works not only because it resonates with the customer, you're delivering to the customer what it is they want. You remember, marketing is all about putting the customer in the center of all this. So you're making sure you're delivering the right material for them. But also you're supporting the sales effort to sort of the maximum possible way that you can do. So I think ABM is actually a really, really powerful strategy that creates a truly symbiotic relationship between marketing and sales. This leads to obviously a freer flow of information back and forth, which in turn leads to a much better focus on addressing our target customers' needs. And the success that we have had has actually simply reinforced this process. So for us, what has this meant is despite the COVID lockdown, despite schools being remote teaching, despite being very difficult at times to get a hold of individuals within the trusts, we actually managed to secure five new deals within trusts, smaller trusts with I think fewer than 10 schools. But we're actually right now under advanced negotiations with a much, much larger trust, over 50 schools. And this is on the basis of the work that we've been doing to nurture these accounts over the last year. So I can say that ABM really, really does work, and it makes a big, big difference.
It's proven. Head of Marketing at Syscom, Darren Binder, thank you very much.
Yes, thank you very, very much, David.
Our final ABM expert is the founder of Tribal Impact, Sarah Goodall. Sarah, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me again, Dave. It's been wonderful to be back. So
it's good to have you back. But over to you on this one.
Okie doke. Well, for me, account-based marketing is nothing new. It's been around for a while. But I reckon over this last year, it's experienced like a huge surge in hype and activity. And when you actually dig deep into what ABM's all about, it involves really understanding your customer, personalizing their experience with your brand, and building relationships. It's that really highly targeted approach where you understand your ideal customer profile, you search out like for like companies that sort of match that profile, and then you align your efforts around that organization. But where I would really question it is, you know, it's called account-based marketing, but is it really the responsibility of just marketing? You know, whilst it is called ABM, I think it's the responsibility of more than just marketing. You know, customer insights are the unifying resource that every team can use when they're addressing target accounts. And marketing can bring their insights in from website behavior, like IP address related traffic, pages visited, time on page, assets downloaded, conversions by source. But sales also have relationship insights, and you know, they know who's who, they know who's likely to be a detractor within a target account. They also probably know who's likely to be a promoter within a target account, who's sharing what kind of content, which platforms they're reading, you know, and all these insights can be put together for an approach. But there are other insights, right? So you can gather insights from annual reports, publicly available news, videos, LinkedIn, where people have been at events talking about topics, social media, influencer marketing. You know, there's other ways that you can get insights, and these all need to be aggregated into an account-based approach. And notice, I'm not talking account-based marketing, I'm talking about account-based approach. And when you bring these insights together, your organization is much more informed when addressing that large account. And I'll give you a great example. If you're going to invest paid social around a target account that you want to go after, surely you should do your research. Your sales team should be out there looking at the content that those prospects are sharing. Where are they reading? What platforms are they looking at? What are they reading? If you're going to direct your paid social somewhere, direct it at the platforms where they're already hanging out. So I'd take this one step further, because when you embrace the fact that account-based marketing is really about building relationships, you'll soon realize that marketers, we can't do this alone. And whilst we probably have the technical skills and the creative skills to create content and create the resources, we can't be in every conversation. We can't engage with every single influencer into that account. We can't connect to all those target accounts and decision makers. Quite often, we don't have the technical knowledge to have those conversations. So the power for me of the employee collective is a very key element of ABM. And I think quite often that's missing in most cases. When you engage your entire employee community, when you start connecting people at all levels in the organization to target audiences in the prospective organization, that's when I think it really works well. So perhaps maybe we should start talking about account-based business growth or account-based approaches, because the responsibility just on marketing leading this effort, I think is a mistake that should be avoided.
So I guess that's insight. I'm just trying to do the acronym on ABBG.
ABBG.
I think from Sarah Goodall, founder of Tribal Impact. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And that's it. That's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guests, to Robert Norham, Andrea Clatworthy, Darren Bindert and Sarah Goodall. And thanks to our technical team from Through the Eye, Scott Jackson, Andrew Gratian, Alex Horn and Josh Bench. Most of all, though, thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can, and email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk. But that's it for now. I hope to see you again. Thanks for listening.